online service. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and Franco will be right over to your house to deliver one to you. No, this is normally where we pass out Bibles, but of course, you're sitting at home or sitting somewhere watching this online, and with that, you know then our services are online and not physically here in our church facility, but we're going to be broadcasting from our church so that we can continue to have a feel of at least being together. And it's important to understand that our church services for the time being will be here. You can log in on our website here at calvarysouthaustin.com. We will, instead of having two services, have one service at 10 a.m. every Sunday. We will continue with our midweek service at 7 p.m. And also, I've been posting daily updates and just encouraging words so that you can be a part of what's just going on here at the church and keep you updated on what's happening in the world and what a proper Christian perspective ought to be of these things. Now, I encourage you to visit our website daily, looking at the calendar of events, because there are changes and alterations. For example, it's important to understand for the women's ministry, our Eve 31 Women's Ministry is now meeting via a Zoom app at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays. If you want to get a link to that Zoom app, then I encourage you to email adminmedia@calvarysouthaustin.com. You will receive a link so that you can join in on that Zoom app with the Women's Ministry. Also, we would have an outreach to the University of Texas this Thursday, but because of what's happening, we're just going to have a live stream study on Thursday at 6:30 p.m. You can visit our website, www.csachurch, and there you can log on to that live stream. It's going to be a class and a discussion on how to reach out and how to share your faith, and I encourage you to tune into that. And there are other things, updates that you need to know, so just visit the website, calvarysouthaustin.com, and look at the calendar events and the upcoming events section so that you understand what it is that we're doing, what we're not doing, what we're doing differently, and that way you'll receive all the information necessary. Now, you guys know me, and you know that I don't spend a whole lot of time talking about money. It's not my job to fleece the sheep and try to convince you to give, and that's certainly the case today. And as a matter of fact, I just wanted to take a moment just to kind of relieve some stress that you might be feeling. We recognize that the economy, it's starting to suffer. Many of us may be at home. Many of us hourly employees might not bring in a paycheck right now. Maybe you're cut off from your source of income. And if so, you know, I just want you to understand that we don't believe in a legalistic tithe here at CalvarySouthAustin.com. I would encourage you to go to our website and look at the giving page, where our philosophy on giving is broken down from the scriptural basis that we've embraced. And so if you've got zero money coming in right now and you're feeling bad that you can't give here at Calvary South Austin, I would just relieve you of that pressure and just help you to recognize that our giving is an act of worship and not a legalistic requirement. And so I just encourage you just to be relieved of that stress. We are praying that the Lord will, reverse what's going on economically here in our country and in the world. We're keeping all of this in prayer. And I would also encourage you not only to look to those, federal, I guess they're going to be rolling out, some money for people in need. I encourage you to look for that and to request it if you're able to. Also, contact the church. If you're about to be kicked out of your apartment and if you're in need, please let us know about it. The least thing that we can do is pray together and seek the Lord for that. But we're also praying that the Lord would bless us with more resources so that we can help those who are in need of benevolence. And so this request is for those who have enough money to share. If you are wealthy and you are able to give and help out with those who are in need, this is a perfect way for Christians who have to help the Christians who have not. And, I would just encourage you, if you are able to continue giving, you can text an offering to 512-572-3440. That information is on our website. But again, it's 512-572-3440. And this is a perfect opportunity for those of us who have to help those who don't have. Well, there are many other things happening in the church, and I encourage you, go visit the website and find out all the different changes that are happening here at our church. But for now, I'm excited for us to get into a study that I've titled The Crowns for the Christian. And before we do, let's ask the Lord to bless the teaching of His Word. If you would, let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for this opportunity that we have to use this incredible technology so that we can continue to meet together, though we are not physically together. Lord, we do pray for the virus that has caused this pandemic. We pray that You would help the scientists who are doing the research. Lord, that You would help the first responders and those in the emergency rooms and the doctors and the physicians. We pray that You would protect them and help them to continue to do their good work. And Lord, we pray for medicine, and we pray for a vaccine. We pray that You would bring this around quickly, and Lord, that You would just solve the economic issues and just help us to have peace during this time. Help us to know, Lord, that You're on the throne and that You are in control, Lord. And so we just trust You and help us, Lord, to have the faith to know that You're going to bring us through this season of life. I pray, Lord, that You would use this study this morning to bless Your people and to encourage our hearts and to fill us with the faith that we need so that we can continue to just trust in You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, it was Friday, March the 6th, when three hysterical women began to fight one another over a package of toilet paper. Another shopper actually pulled a knife on one, and in order to secure the sanitary napkins that they needed, they were ready to cut someone for that toilet paper. And this mass hysteria, which is occurring all over the world, has come to be known as toilet paper apocalypse. That's right. We find ourselves in the middle of the toilet paper apocalypse. And the reason for all of this insanity, well, is due to the fact that many people are beginning to lose their minds over the recent pandemic commonly called COVID-19. Now, COVID-19, this is the name of the disease that's caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And for the sake of clarity, it'll help you to know that COVID-19 is an acronym that stands for Coronavirus Disease of 2019. You might not know this, but the first coronavirus was actually discovered as far back as the 1960s. And since then, scientists have discovered four coronaviruses that can cause the symptoms of the common cold. Not only that, but scientists have also discovered three human coronaviruses that can result in pneumonia. And these include the SARS-CoV, the MERS-CoV, and finally, the novel SARS-CoV-2, which is more commonly called COVID-19. Now, it's interesting to know that these viruses, when viewed under a microscope, they appear to have a crown-like structure. They kind of look like they're wearing a little crown, and therefore the name coronavirus was employed because corona, this is the Latin word for crown. And while it's true that this crown virus or this coronavirus has impacted our lives in many fearful and dreadful ways, it's also true that this pandemic is providing the church with an incredible opportunity to reveal our faith in Jesus Christ to the people around us. Rather than allowing the mass hysteria caused by the coronavirus to fill our hearts with fear so that we take part in toilet paper apocalypse, let's instead spend our time this morning focusing on the crowns that the Lord has promised to give to those who trust in Him. Now, with this as the focus, I want to begin by first opening our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And as you make your way to the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I want to take a moment to remind you that Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings, and as the King of Kings, He has the sovereign authority over all creation. And while it's true that the creation is currently suffering under the curse of the fall, it's also true that there is coming a day when the Lord will rid the world of every sickness. He will cure the world of every disease. And it's at that point in time when the King of Kings will give every born-again believer a heavenly crown which will never perish. As a matter of fact, look with me here at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to focus your attention beginning there at verse 24. Here Paul asks, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Now here in these verses we find Paul, he's encouraging every Christian to remember that those who trust in Jesus Christ, we shouldn't be so focused on the perishable crowns of this world. We shouldn't be so focused on these perishable crowns that we really want that we end up losing sight of the imperishable crown that the Lord is eventually going to give to those who run the race of faith. The perishable crown that Paul was referring to, this was actually a laurel wreath that Olympic runners would receive if they won the race. But for us, the perishable crowns of this world, they're the finite rewards that are given to those who achieve, the worldly goals that we set out to accomplish. This could include, cars and houses and the luxuries that we work so hard for. Sadly, the church is filled with Christians who are spending all of their time pursuing these perishable crowns. Rather than running the race of faith, they're running towards a finish line that can only provide them with a finite reward, something that may, bring joy for a moment, but will quickly begin to deteriorate. Not only that, but there are also Christians who spend so much of their time pursuing the perishable crowns of this world that they never actually learn to trust in the Lord. And that's when the trials of this life end up landing on us like a ton of bricks. And we don't know how to walk by faith because we didn't exercise our faith along the way. We were too busy pursuing perishable crowns. The time comes when those trials hit us like a ton of bricks, like the pandemic that we find ourselves in. And when these tough times come, these Christians who are weak in faith, they run in fear because they never learned how to run by faith. And if this sounds like your response to the coronavirus, then I encourage you to reconsider the course of your life. Rather than running in fear as you set out to stockpile sanitary napkins for the fear of toilet paper apocalypse, let's instead refocus. Let's decide that it's time to recenter our lives so that we can begin to run the race of faith with endurance. As we return to this race of faith, which we've all been called to run, we'll begin to realize that the believer who is running the race of faith no longer needs to fear the perishable crown of the coronavirus. And the reason why? Well, it's due to the fact that there's coming a day when we're going to obtain the imperishable crown of Christ Jesus. And not only will those who run the race of faith receive an imperishable crown, but this brings us to the second crown that we're going to receive, because there's coming a day that we're going to receive a crown of rejoicing. Now, with this as our focus, let's turn in our Bibles now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as you make your way to the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, I want to take a moment to point out that the King of Kings actually has five crowns for those who trust in him. We've actually been given five crowns, and this second crown, it's found here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and this is where we find the Apostle Paul assuring his audience about the rewards that we will receive as we enter into the presence of Jesus Christ. And if you would look with me here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to draw your attention there to verse 19. Here Paul asks this. He says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Now here in this verse we find Paul, he's referring to the Christians there at the church in Thessalonica. He's referring to them as a crown of rejoicing. And in order to understand how those believers could be considered a crown of rejoicing, I want to remind you about a statement that King Solomon made in the 17th chapter of Proverbs. It's there where we learn that children's children are the crown of old men. Children's children are the crown of old men. Or in other words, a grandfather will see their grandchildren as the crown of their rejoicing. And I'm certain that every grandparent listening right now is quick to agree that their grandchildren have become the crown of their rejoicing. In similar fashion, Paul saw the Christians there in Thessalonica as his crown of rejoicing. It's in Acts chapter 17 where we learn about the time when Paul spent, he spent some time reasoning there with the Jews at the synagogue in Thessalonica. And according to Luke, some of them were persuaded. And not only were the Jews persuaded, but there were also many Greeks, devout Greeks who were persuaded, as well as many of the leading women. And so many in Thessalonica came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it was 2 years later, after his visit to Thessalonica, when Paul wrote this first letter to the Thessalonians, and he sent it to the church there in Thessalonica, and he encouraged those who had come to faith in Jesus Christ under his ministry that they were his crown of rejoicing. They're the crown of righteousness and rejoicing. And with this in mind, if you would look with me again here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to draw your attention again to verse 19 where Paul asks, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy." As we take another look at this text, we can see here that Paul, he's looking forward to the day when he would stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and not alone, but he would stand there with all of the Christians there from Thessalonica. And according to Paul, it's on that day, in the presence of Jesus Christ, when those believers from Thessalonica would become his crown of rejoicing. And in light of this, we can see then that the people we lead to the Lord will become a crown of rejoicing on that day when we enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to further grasp my point, I want to consider something that Paul wrote to the Christians at the church in Philippi. If you would, let's turn in our Bibles now to Philippians chapter 4. And as you make your way to the fourth chapter of Philippians, I want to take a moment to point out that every Christian has become the adopted children of God. By faith in Jesus Christ, we become the adopted children of God. But at the same time, though, there's a special kinship between the evangelist and the people they lead to the Lord. There's a special relationship between the Christian and the believers they've led to the Lord. And while it's true that we will all rejoice as we enter into the presence of our Savior, it's also true that we can wear the crown of rejoicing today as we spend time leading others to Jesus. I want to consider how Paul puts it here in Philippians chapter 4. If you would, let's begin reading there at verse 1. Here Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown." It's another way of saying crown of rejoicing. They were his joy and his crown. And then he says, "So stand fast in the Lord, beloved." And then he says, "I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, here in these verses, we find Paul, he's referring to these Christians there in Philippi as his crown of joy. Not only that, but he also urges them as his true companions to work together with those who were out there sharing the gospel message. And according to Paul, those who had become his fellow workers, fellow laborers, those who were leading the lost to Jesus Christ would begin to realize that there's reason for us to rejoice in the Lord always, which is why he says there in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. He doesn't say rejoice sometimes. He doesn't say rejoice when times are good. He doesn't say rejoice when all things are working out for you. No. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he doubles down and says, again, I say, rejoice. Why? Well, it's due to the fact that every conversion to Christ is cause for celebration. Regardless of the difficulties happening around us, regardless of the trials and the tribulations, if we are leading the lost to Jesus Christ, then we have reason to rejoice. The Lord Jesus confirms this in Luke chapter 15. It's there where he assured his audience that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's joy. There's cause for rejoicing in heaven anytime an unbeliever repents and trusts in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Christian who is committed to the great commission of Christ, even in times like these, we will receive a crown of rejoicing. And at the same time, we're also giving the angels reason to party. We're giving the angels in heaven more reasons to rejoice in the Lord as we lead the lost to the Lord. With that being the case, I encourage every Christian, let's become fellow laborers. Let's rejoice in the Lord as we lead the lost to Jesus. Now, with this as the goal, it's important for us to understand that most people come to faith in Jesus at times of great distress. It's true. When things are going great, we typically aren't looking for a Savior. But when we find ourselves in times of great distress, we're looking for a Savior. We're looking for someone to fix the situation. Therefore, rather than responding in fear to the stressful situation that we find ourselves in, rather than responding in fear to this pandemic that's currently plaguing the world, the believer should instead see this pandemic as an opportunity. This is an opportunity for us to lead the lost into the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Rather than panicking over the toilet paper apocalypse, let's help our unbelieving friends and family members to realize that those who trust in Jesus can rejoice in the Lord, even in the midst of a stressful situation. And as we lead the lost to Jesus, we can rejoice in knowing that we will eventually receive the crown of rejoicing. So we see then that the Christian will receive, first of all, an imperishable crown. And not only that, but we also have the opportunity to receive the crown of rejoicing as we lead the lost to the Lord. The third crown that has been promised for the believer is called the crown of righteousness. And with this as the focus, let's turn in our Bibles now to 2 Timothy chapter 4. As you make your way to the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, I want to take a moment to point out that the word righteousness, it refers to the rightness of those who are right all the time. Now, it's not uncommon for many of us to think that we're right all of the time, but the truth be told, we are often wrong. The fact is, only God is truly right all of the time. He alone is truly righteous. At the same time, we can rejoice in knowing that the Lord has promised to provide every born-again believer with a crown of righteousness, though we don't deserve it. As a matter of fact, if you would look with me here at 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to draw your attention beginning there at verse 5. Here, Paul encouraged Timothy by declaring, "You be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Here in these verses we find Paul, he's referring to this crown of righteousness that the Lord is going to give to us on the day of his appearing. As we consider this crown of righteousness, it's important for us to realize that this is not a crown which will be given to those who are able to achieve a state of self-righteousness. It's not like, you know, if we can just somehow manage to be right all of the time, then we get the crown of righteousness. No. Instead, the crown of righteousness will be given to those who have kept the faith in Jesus Christ. Or in other words, the crown of righteousness is a reward which will be given to those who have received by faith the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in order to understand this imputation of Christ's righteousness, I want to consider something that Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome. If you would, let's turn in our Bibles now to Romans chapter 3. And as you make your way to the third chapter of Romans, I want to take a moment to point out that this novel coronavirus has actually been spread to less than 1% of the people here in America. That's how many people currently have been infected with the coronavirus. Less than 1% of Americans have been infected. Now, we're doing everything we can to slow the spread. This is why we're, meeting in our houses and doing services online. And we want to try to slow the spread. But it's also important to understand that less than 1% isn't a great deal, thankfully. At the same time, though, I would also point out that the spiritual virus of sin has actually infected 100% of the people here in America. 100% of us have been infected with the spiritual virus of sin, and not only here in America, but everywhere. Every person everywhere is infected with this spiritual virus of sin. Now, thankfully for us, the Lord Jesus has provided us with a cure. And this cure comes to us through the imputation of his righteousness. I want to consider how Paul puts it here in Romans chapter 3. If you would look with me there, beginning at verse 21. Here Paul declares, "Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Now, to sum all of this up with simplicity, Paul is simply informing his audience that we've all been infected with the spiritual virus of sin. Every single person on the planet today has been infected with the sin virus. But rather than allowing us to perish in our unrighteousness, Jesus came and he created a cure with his blood. He used his blood to provide us with a cure for sin so that every sinner could receive the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, those who trust in Jesus, we will be saved from the spiritual death of sin as we receive this imputation of Christ's righteousness. Now, it's my hope that the Lord will lead our super intelligent scientists to discover a cure for COVID-19. And it's my prayer that those who have been infected with the novel coronavirus will be healed. At the same time, though, it's crucial for every Christian to realize that the spiritual virus of sin, it's going to claim every life without fail. The spiritual virus of sin is going to claim every single life, and 100% of us have it. While it's true that we've all been infected with the spiritual virus, it's also true that those who trust in Jesus will receive the cure that we all so desperately need. Not only that, but we will also receive the crown of righteousness on the day we find ourselves face to face with Jesus. He first imputes his righteousness into our spiritual account, thereby covering all of our sins. And then as we enter into his presence, he gives us a crown to demonstrate the righteousness that he provided for us. So we see then that those who trust in Jesus, we will receive an imperishable crown. Not only that, but we will also receive the crown of rejoicing, and also we will receive the crown of Christ's righteousness. The fourth crown that we can receive is called the crown of glory. And with this as our focus, let's turn now in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. And as you make your way to the fifth chapter of Peter's first epistle, I want to take a moment to point out that the word glory, well, it speaks of the kingly majesty as well as the absolute perfection of the Lord. Not only that, but the same Greek word that's translated glory, it's also used to describe the glorious condition of the blessedness that every Christian will enter into at the time of our Savior's return. We are going to enter into glory. As a matter of fact, look with me here at 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to begin reading at verse 1. Here Peter declares, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Now, here in these verses, we find Peter encouraging every elder to accomplish their calling by leading the Christians who have been committed to their care. For the sake of clarity, it'll help you to know that the title elder in this context, it's synonymous with the title pastor or shepherd. Therefore, Peter here is challenging every elder or every shepherd to submit themselves to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our chief shepherd, and he's raised up elders to become sub-shepherds, pastors who are leaders of individual flocks. And in this way, the elder or pastor of the church ought to lead by example as we serve the Lord as submissive overseers who are submitting to the chief shepherd of the entire flock. And according to Peter, the pastor who leads the flock in this way by submitting to the chief shepherd, this pastor will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. To be honest, I don't know if Peter here is referring to a literal crown, which is all blinged out with precious jewels. I sure would like that. But maybe the crown of glory is some higher level of glory, which will be provided to us in some sort of luxurious suite as we go into our heavenly home. We can't say for certain. We don't know exactly what the crown of glory is, but what I do know is that I want it. I want to receive the crown of glory. And knowing that this crown of glory is going to be given to elders who are faithful to their pastoral position, Peter's encouragement, it motivates me to become the best pastor that I can be. But what about those who haven't been called to the position of pastor? Maybe you're there and you're wondering, well, I want a crown of glory, but I'm not a pastor. Well, with this in mind, I want to pick up our study of 1 Peter 5 again. I want to draw your attention back to 1 Peter 5. Look with me there at verse 5. Here Peter goes on to declare, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Now I want to stop right there because it's important to understand that the word likewise there at the beginning of verse 5, it connects this command that follows to the instructions previously presented to pastors. And so Peter's calling pastors to be submissive to the chief shepherd so that they can receive a crown of glory, and likewise the rest of you. What this means then is that the crown of glory, which has been promised to submissive shepherds, will also be received by submissive parishioners who will humbly cooperate with the Lord as we work together here in our church. And in order to grasp this cooperation, let's continue to consider what Peter here is saying. If you would look with me again there at 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll pick up again at verse 5 where Peter declares, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Here in these verses, we find Peter, he's encouraging both pastors and parishioners to humbly cooperate with one another as we set out to serve our chief shepherd, Jesus. And as we do, the Lord promises that he will exalt us in due time. And he's going to exalt us on that day when we receive the crown of glory. As we enter into our glorified state, the Lord Jesus will exalt us. We can't say for sure what the crown of glory will look like. But it's my guess that Peter is actually referring to the glorified state of the resurrected believer. It's actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where we find Paul, he's describing this glorified state. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he describes the glorification of the believer by declaring this. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, listen. The Lord has promised to crown us with glory by providing us with a brand new body. He's going to take this corruptible body and transform it and provide us with an incorruptible body. And I believe that this is our crown of glory. In this way, the Lord is going to save us from the sin virus. He's going to save this corruptible body from everything, you know, that can just destroy us. Yeah, you have to understand that this fallen body, this corruptible body, is so easily affected by the fall. We're affected by little viruses like COVID-19. I mean, you need a microscope to see it. Something that's so small that you can't even see it unless you have a microscope can take us out. That's how fragile we are. These fallen bodies are so fragile that these little viruses that we can't even see can kill us. Thanks be to God that this won't be true forever. There's eventually coming a day when every born-again believer will receive a brand new crown, and we're going to be crowned with glory. And we're going to be given an incorruptible body, which will always be free from the effects of the fall. And I'm looking forward to that day. Now, this brings us to our fifth and final crown. You see, those who trust in Jesus will not only receive an imperishable crown, will not only receive the crown of rejoicing and the crown of righteousness, as well as the crown of glory, but we're also going to receive the crown of life. And with this as the focus, let's turn in our Bibles now to Revelation chapter 2, where we find the Lord Jesus. He's challenging the church in the city of Smyrna. And as you make your way to the second chapter of Revelation, I want to take a moment to point out that these five crowns, including this crown of life, they won't be fully enjoyed until we shed this mortal coil. And according to Jesus, we won't receive the crown of life until that day when we enter into the presence of our Savior. Now, with this in mind, if you would look with me here at Revelation chapter 2, I want to begin reading at verse 8. Here Jesus declares, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Now, here in these verses, we find the Lord Jesus. He's assuring the hearts of those who are about to become martyrs for the faith, knowing that they were about to experience an extremely painful death. The Lord Jesus refocused their attention. He got their minds off of the persecution that they were about to endure, and he refocused their attention by reminding them about the reward that they would receive in the afterlife. According to the Lord, the believer who is faithful even until death is going to receive the crown of life. Therefore, I want to encourage every Christian this morning, let's be faithful to the end, no matter what. No matter what we suffer, let's be faithful to the end. Sadly, there are many believers who will end up losing this reward, and the reason why is because they allow the trials and the temptations of this world to lead them back into a life of sin. As a result, there are many backslidden believers who fail to overcome while we're still here in this world. And as a result, they miss out on many of the rewards, including the reward that's called the crown of life. And in order to further grasp the point that I'm trying to make here, let's consider something that Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth. If you would hold your place here in the book of Revelation and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we find Paul, he's referring to all of our rewards. And as you're making your way to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, I want to take a moment to address the question about eternal security, because some people might get me wrong and think that what I'm talking about is a Christian losing their salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. There are some believers who think that a Christian can lose or even forfeit their salvation. Others believe in eternal security. And while there are different arguments that seem to support both positions, I personally believe that those who trust in Jesus have received the imputation of Christ's righteousness. And what this means is that all of my sins, past, present, and future, have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. When a believer receives the imputation of righteousness, it covers every sin, even the sins of a backslidden believer. And with that being the case, the backslidden believer, their sins have already been covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but Paul also tells us that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Therefore, the Holy Spirit of God has become the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And as a result, there is now no condemnation for those who trust in Jesus Christ. What this also means is that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And this includes death and life. It includes angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come. There's nothing, not one created thing, that can separate us from the love of God that we find in Christ Jesus. At the same time, though, it's important to understand that a backsliding believer, while they won't lose their salvation, they will end up losing rewards, and they're going to suffer the loss of rewards on the day when we find ourselves in the presence of our Savior. In order to prove my point, if you would look with me here at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to begin reading there at verse 10. Here Paul writes, "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Now here in these verses we find Paul, he's helping his audience to understand that the believer who faithfully serves the Lord until the end will receive rewards for the work that we've accomplished. Conversely, the carnal Christian, though they still are saved, are going to suffer the loss of rewards. With that being the case, I encourage every Christian to faithfully serve the Lord even until the day we die. And as we do, we can rejoice in knowing that those who overcome while we're here in this world, well, we will receive the crown of life in the next. And not only will we receive the crown of life, but we will also escape the second death. And with this as the focus, let's make our way back to Revelation chapter 2. I want to look again beginning in the middle of verse 10. Actually, let's back up to the beginning of verse 10. It's there in Revelation 2, verse 10, where the Lord Jesus declares, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until the end, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Now, here in these verses, again, we find the Lord Jesus. He's assuring the Christians there at the church in Smyrna that though they are about to suffer the death of a martyr, they could take great comfort in knowing that they wouldn't suffer the second death. They were going to receive a crown of life, and at the same time, they would escape the second death, which I'll remind you, this is a reference to the everlasting death experienced by those who end up in hell. As we consider what Jesus was saying, it's important to realize that the second death is definitely scarier than the coronavirus. The second death is scarier than the first death by far. The Lord Jesus elaborates on the second death. It's in Revelation chapter 20 where we learn that there's coming a day when the sea will give up the dead who are in it, and death and Hades will deliver up the dead who are in them, and they will be judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Those who reject the forgiveness which is received by faith in Jesus Christ will eventually experience the second death. And those who experience the second death, they'll be brought from the grave to be judged by Jesus. And after all of their works have been examined and tried, then they will be cast into the lake of fire. And there in the lake of fire, they will suffer in torments for the rest of eternity. But that being the case, I'm here to tell you that the second death is infinitely scarier than the first. And I know that we're all scared of the first death. You better believe that there is even more to fear when it comes to the second death. And with that being the case, shouldn't we help people to understand that there is something far more fearful than COVID-19? Knowing that the torment which will occur in the lake of fire will be infinitely worse than this so-called crown virus. It's crucial for Christians to spend time encouraging every unbeliever by helping them to understand that we can actually avoid the second death. We can't avoid the first death, but we can avoid the second death. And we avoid the second death by receiving the crown of life that Jesus freely gives to those who trust in him. Now think about this for a moment. If you had the cure for the coronavirus, would you hold on to it? Would you keep it to yourself? Or would you share it with others? If you had the cure for the coronavirus, I'm pretty certain that you would share it with every infected person. Of course we would, because that would be the compassionate thing to do. In a similar yet spiritual way, listen, Christian, we have the cure for the sin virus. We have the cure for the infection that every single person has. And while it's true that this sin virus will result in the death of our physical bodies, it's also true that we have the cure that can keep others from suffering the second death. The cure is found in the blood of Jesus Christ, because the blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse us from the stain of our sin. And now those who are trusting in the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we will be saved from the second death. And so, Christian, with all compassion, let's take this time to share this cure with others. Let's encourage others to trust in Jesus Christ so that they too can receive the cure that saves us from the second death. Christian, listen, this season of social distancing, it's soon going to be over. And our fear of the coronavirus will eventually be a distant memory. And there's no question in my mind that we will eventually return to our normal routines, we'll return to our lives. And so the question I have for you today is this. Did we take full advantage of this time in our life? Did we take this opportunity to share the cure for the sin virus with those who right now are looking for help? It's important to understand that the Lord, he allows us to face trials and troubles of this world, like the toilet paper apocalypse that we find ourselves in the middle of. He allows us to endure these times so that we might turn our focus upwards. We can get so inwardly focused. We can begin to focus on perishable crowns that quickly deteriorate. And we can get so focused on the life that we have in front of us and the relationships that we're so focused in on. And we can lose sight of what's truly important, which is our relationship with the Lord. And so is it possible that the Lord has allowed us to face this time of trembling so that we might recenter our focus on the things that truly matter? At the top of this list of things that truly matter, it ought to be the eternal perspective. And the eternal perspective helps us to remember that we haven't been called to build our kingdom here on the earth. No, instead, we've been called to live for the glory of the one who has promised to reward us with everlasting crowns. With that being the case, I encourage every Christian to realize that the Lord might be using the coronavirus to simply refocus our attention. Therefore, rather than living in the fear of this crown virus, let's instead live by faith as we serve the one who promised to provide us with everlasting crowns. And as we do, we can rejoice in knowing that there is coming a day when we will receive the imperishable crown and the crown of rejoicing and the crown of righteousness and the crown of glory, as well as the crown of life. It's on that glorious day when we will stand before our Savior And we will take those crowns that we've received and we will cast those crowns at the feet of Jesus Christ. And according to John, it's at that moment when we will sing, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." That's right, there's coming a day when we will cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus Christ. And we will bow before our Savior because Jesus is the one who is worthy of our praise. With that being the case, listen, there's no reason for us to live in fear today. There's no reason for us to live in fear today because worst case scenario, we die of the coronavirus and we immediately find ourselves in the presence of our Savior, Christian. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And he asks, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore," he says, "my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's continue to serve the Lord. Even in this time of trembling, even in this time of trouble, even in this time of trial, let's continue to serve the Lord and let's continue to reach out to the people around us, especially those who are lost. Let's present to them the cure, which is received by faith in Jesus Christ. And let's pray that they would receive that cure so that then they can begin to also serve the Lord as they prepare to receive the imperishable crown and the crown of rejoicing and the crown of righteousness and the crown of glory and the crown of life by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.